Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to have so much fun today because we're talking about my favorite subject, podcasts. How much fun is this going to be? I cannot wait to learn from my guests. So please join me in welcoming Tiago Faria to our program today. Welcome, Tiago. How are you?
Oh, Deb, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I cannot wait to talk about the random experiment I did last year.
I know.
It completely changed my business, so it's going to be fun for sure.
I love it. I love it. You know, and of course, we should have hit record at the very start because we had 15 minutes, a really good conversation. But yeah, so let me tell people just a little bit about you and then we will jump in. Yes. So Tiago Faria helps experts do the most fun marketing they'll ever do and attract the most pre-sold leads they'll ever get. Oh, and by the way, he does it through podcast guesting. Talk about putting some pressure on me. Holy cow. Well, you know, this is not what you started out doing. So tell us a little bit more about how it is that this is now your passion in life.
Absolutely, Deb. Fantastic question. It was a super interesting happening last year. So, but before that, for 5 years, I was creating a lot of content. I was overwhelming myself, especially on video. But first, okay. It was on my blog, then on YouTube, then on Facebook as well. I was getting exhausted by it, you know, because you're staring at the blank page and mm-hmm. then, oh, I have to come up with something interesting. Or the camera is on. Okay, now I have to perform. It's time to make. And it started to make me hate it at some point. And last year, I really I burned out and I mm-hmm. stopped doing it completely. Mm-hmm. So I started recycling my content. Mm-hmm. But at some point it kind of stopped working because, you know, people just notice that you're just recycling old content and it's mm-hmm. not the same energy. And so I started noticing a dip in the, basically making sales, getting leads, mm-hmm. right? So I was mm-hmm. pushing a lot of people and cold messaging a lot. So I started to make it even, hate it even more. Mm-hmm. wife was already getting worried. Things were getting tight. I was at that valley of despair mm-hmm. stage. I wanted to grow my business, basically, but I just couldn't go back to that hustle mm-hmm. and grind mm-hmm. Of creating content all the time. Mm-hmm. It's really exhausting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unpredictability started to come over. Financial rollercoaster was basically the standard. Mm-hmm. Sleepless nights, thinking, okay, how I'm gonna start another month from zero? Mm-hmm. We even considered jobs, going back to jobs, but no.
Employer?
No, please, no. It was 5 years of freedom. I could not go back to that, mm-hmm. but there had to be a way. So and then the most amazing thing happened, which was just before we were going on holidays. We were going to Georgia. Here in Europe, which is a very mm-hmm. random.
Yeah, not my Georgia. The other
not your Georgia.
Georgia
in Europe. But just before I go, I received an email from one of my mentors, and nowadays my mentor. He had a new beta program open, and it was completely aligned with me because mm-hmm. he was saying, okay, man, you don't need to make any content. Mm-hmm. Just good old networking and referrals. I was like, okay, this is it. This is mm-hmm. it. I'm going to go for it. Wifey agreed, maxed out the credit card for mm-hmm. another high ticket program. Mm-hmm. I committed to it. And in the program, my mentor told me that podcast guesting was mm-hmm. an amazing way to, you know, increase your network, mm-hmm. create partnerships. I committed to it. I went all in and I'm usually obsessed when I put something on my mind and mm-hmm. I go very crazily mm-hmm. obsessive and all in. And in 4 months, I booked 67 podcasts for me as a guest, right? mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. is an insane amount of work. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend anyone to do it. It's mm-hmm. no, please no. But it was definitely true. Mm-hmm. And you know this, you create a lot of connections with mm-hmm. amazing people through the podcasting mm-hmm. world, right? I started creating lots of partnerships. Mm-hmm. But Deb, do you know what was the best thing that happened? at some point, one of the hosts that I was interviewed on, she sent me an email saying, oh, the podcast is live. And by the way, here are some 5 reels you can use, you know, of the best parts of your interview. And I was like, oh, my God. Free content seamlessly extracted from me, right? Through a normal conversation like we're having here, right? And it's basically the dream marketing scenario, because you don't have to be creating content artificially or forcefully. You're chatting.
It truly is something you said.
Exactly. Having a chat with someone like I have having here with Deb. And it's also the dream selling scenario, because you also have access to new audiences that you would not have access otherwise, right? And those people listen to you. Their podcast listeners like to go deep. They like to get to know you better. They hear your story for 20 or 1 hour. And they can know, like, and trust you. So it's a very different selling scenario once those right people approach you. Right? But yeah, I made a ton of mistakes during that podcast blitz. I learned a lot by testing, trying different things. And also talking a lot to hosts, right? Some some even coached me for free. There was this one lady that told me, I was trying to get on her podcast, and she said, in the pre-interview chat, like we talked about, she said, Tiago, can I give you a piece of advice and feedback? You're just teaching a lot. You're just sharing information. It doesn't make you stand out from the pack. So you should be creating, like, your own framework, you know, your unique approach. And so I got a lot of amazing coaching.
Yeah. Why do we want to talk to you?
Exactly. And in the meantime, I was also posting all my interviews on my LinkedIn profile. And some people approached me, like, Tiago, what the hell? What are you doing? Why are you suddenly everywhere? Can you show me how to do it? And this gave me a sign, okay, this is, I should shift my business. There's a need here that I should, I have something to share with people. So I completely changed my my business to help people get this dream marketing scenario. And it's the dream marketing scenario because, as I said, we don't have to create content. It just gets extracted from us with a kind of conversation. And by the way, my clients get the extra benefit of having dozens of reels also created for them just before one interview. But yeah, that's how exactly I got here. And the way I help people now is through the dream method, basically my framework that I created.
If you want to talk about it later, we can. Yes, because you followed her advice.
Exactly. That's exactly how I came here.
I love it. Well, we'll talk about the dream method in a little bit more later. But, you know, it is so interesting because obviously, you know, I believe in the importance of podcasting, not just sitting here talking to myself. But it is a marketing tool, right? Just like your website, which you really should have. I mean, you know, that's the thing. If you're going to be in business, you've got to have your own website. You know, the people who come up to me and say, oh, I just have a Facebook business page. I'm like, no. That's somebody else's real estate. You know, don't ever do that. But yeah, it's just a marketing tool. So it needs to be the same messaging that you're putting out, you know, on everything. And there are some people that podcasting is not for them. You know, fortunately, I've never had to interview somebody. Now, there have been a couple where it's been a little more challenging for me to interview them just because I can tell they're still new at it. And, you know, but the cool thing is, if you are interested in being a guest, I think it would be impossible to not find podcasts that you could go on, because there are literally millions. And there are some that are general like mine, which is a business podcast, all the way down to very specific ones. You know, I went to PodFest earlier this year and was talking with this young lady who had a heart transplant. And she now has a podcast where she talks with other people who have had heart transplants. That's about as niche down as you can get. Now, she's probably going to end up expanding that to maybe other transplants or who knows. But yeah, I mean, you can find a podcast for whatever it is that you do. So for anybody to say, oh, no, you know, hello, go to iTunes and look, you know, and I mean, and then there's even more that people don't have on the services. They just, you know, put out there on their own. So yeah, I mean, it is a fabulous marketing tool. You know, and it is great. You know, and for the most part, it's free. Now, I'm saying that knowing our time has a value, right? So, but I do not charge my guests to be on my podcast. Now, if they are an author, I do say, if we're going to talk about the book, you need to provide me with a copy of your book. An e-version is perfectly acceptable. Otherwise, I would be totally overwhelmed with books. But I don't charge. And there are some podcast hosts that do charge.
And I came across
a couple. It is a business for them, right? So, you know, they want to make money. But yeah, for the most part, this is, you know, a very limited cost for somebody who wants to do that. If somebody comes to you and says, Tiago, what do I need to do first? What do you tell them?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Evan. It's also something that I struggled with. I just mm-hmm. jumped in immediately mm-hmm. after that program that
I was 67 in. Is it?
And it's proof that anyone can do it. If I could mm-hmm. do it mm-hmm. without having something structured, mm-hmm. without not knowing exactly what to do and right. how to be interesting, mm-hmm. it basically comes with practice. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are ways for you to prepare yourself
right. mm-hmm.
to be an amazing guest from mm-hmm. the get-go. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why I would jump in to help you out if that's the case. But the first thing for us to do is... actually, it's the first point of my dream method is the five steps. So the first D is the design is actually part of this, mm-hmm. which is
right.
how to position yourself mm-hmm. As an amazing podcast guest mm-hmm. and become an easy yes for the host, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because most people do like I was doing. I was just mm-hmm. giving a bunch of advice, you know, mm-hmm. sharing information. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make you stand out. So there's mm-hmm. nothing that, okay, why should they hire mm-hmm. why should they invite you, right? Mm-hmm. What makes you mm-hmm. your story unique, different mm-hmm. from everyone mm-hmm. else? In this part, what we should be doing is exactly, okay, thinking, what is our hook? What makes mm-hmm. us
right.
different from everything else, every mm-hmm. other solution?
If I get 5 emails today, why yes. am I going to pay attention to yours?
Exactly. And there are a couple of ways we can think about that, because many people say, but I don't have anything interesting. I'm just a coach, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. But you can think about, for example, have a look at your origin story. What mm-hmm. brought you here?
Right.
There was probably a combination of skills that you matched, mm-hmm. but there was probably some event that mm-hmm. snapped out of you right. some specific mm-hmm. new skill. Or you met a mentor, mm-hmm. or you tried something completely different. Mm-hmm. So what exactly makes you unique, what it makes you you, and this is how you should start positioning yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what captured the attention mm-hmm. of the hosts, okay?
Right.
And also, the way you present your expertise mm-hmm. should be structured, should be organized
right.
in an attractive way. So basically mm-hmm. having your proprietary framework, something mm-hmm. that is only yours, that people cannot Google, right? mm-hmm. Even right. if you do the exact same thing as many other people do, mm-hmm. There is always a way for you to make it unique to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can create the framework I have here, the dream framework, mm-hmm. because it's mm-hmm. a dream scenario, marketing scenario. Mm-hmm. I split it into 5 different steps mm-hmm. and it's branded, it's my own. Mm-hmm. And that makes people think, okay, what is the dream method? That's mm-hmm. that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Tell me more, right? Mm-hmm. So this is 2 things we could start doing immediately mm-hmm. before we even start going on to mm-hmm. the pitch phase. And also think a bit about your topics. What is the, mm-hmm. the 3 to 4 main right. topics you want to discuss and bring mm-hmm. about strategically? Mm-hmm. For example, if you're an author, it could be your chapters of your book. Mm-hmm. If you're a course creator, it could be the modules of the course. Mm-hmm. So think about those and be mm-hmm. strategic about those. And then also create your Media One sheet. There are some hosts that ask for it. I'm not sure. Do you?
I ask it? For it. And usually yeah. I will look at it because yeah. typically there's a little bit different. But yeah, it's not the only thing we ask for.
Mm-hmm. It definitely makes you again different. Mm-hmm. It makes you look more professional.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that
and you can do those on Canva, folks. They're not hard to do.
Exactly. If you want to go to design, yeah, you can mm-hmm. go on Canva. Mm-hmm. I like to do it simple. I mm-hmm. do on Google Doc, you know, right. just basically with your bio, mm-hmm. what makes you different. Mm-hmm. That's what manages the information in mm-hmm. there, right? Mm-hmm. I like to give the suggested topics mm-hmm. and then suggested questions right. even because some mm-hmm. hosts like mm-hmm. to have their life a bit more easy.
Yeah. And I tell you, that is really important. Yeah. The easier you make it for me, the host, the more likely I am to pick you. You know, because I don't have time to go off and be researching. Now, I do read the books. You know, if I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to read the book. But when somebody initially sends me something, if it's not easy, then I'm not going to do it. You know, and I have had people who have said, you know, I've been doing this a really long time and I can go wherever you want. No. You know, don't make me think. Really, don't make me have to think about this. As you said, have those speaking points, have that those topics ready. You know, now, more than likely, I'm going to go squirrel and go in a totally different direction. But make it easy for me to start with, you know, and some of the other stuff that I have seen that people do, sometimes they're contacting me via email. So I, you know, I've got that email, but they don't give me their website URL. So then are they real? You know, I ask if for their social connections, the ones that they want me to use to publicize them, you know, so, and now it's not everywhere. I am on Facebook. I am on X and LinkedIn. I'm, you know, I'm not messing with all the others.
Instagrams, TikToks.
No, you know, because that'd be what I do all day. You know, I want those. Make it simple for me, the host, to look at it and go, oh my gosh, we have to book Tiago.
Exactly. That's the kind of reaction we need to do. Otherwise, it's just another one. Okay, I have so many of those kind of coaches. We need to stand out in that sense. So that's the first thing we should do. Yeah, the design, the way we're going to position ourselves, basically, in the eyes of the host.
Right.
Okay.
You are the product. How are you selling yourself?
It's not about just me. Mm-hmm. How can we also add value to the host? Right. That's super important to keep. And then the next thing I like to do is the second part of the dream method, which is refine. And this is where we get confidence and clarity on our message. Okay. So it has to resonate with the our target audience. Because if we just share a bunch of facts of our life, it's boring. Nobody cares. Oh, I went to this university. I did this. I did, you know, so there's no real connection and people will not, you know, they'll start to doze out and not pay attention to what you're saying.
Or change the channel.
Change the channel. Tune into a different station. So what to do here is basically work on your origin story. Okay. Make it structured in a way you probably never thought of it before, because most people don't take the time to sit down and really think about what brought them there, here. We think it's all in our mind, but if we take the time to write it down, and especially following the storytelling frameworks that are out there, you will always find very interesting things that you probably forgot about, and that could become very interesting things for you to differentiate yourself. You might find your own proprietary framework there, or you can find your own hook through your origin story. But, oh my God, this was there was a happening here in my life that actually sparked all of this, you know? So thinking about, well, what was your life before? You know, what sparked you to start taking some form of action? When did you meet the mentor? Was it something, the mentor? Was it a book you read? Was it, you know, and then think about how it starts changing and what exactly brought you to where you are today. So structure it in a way that is interesting. And always remember to put in the emotional words that your audience might be thinking exactly right now. Because they might be exactly like you were before. So the more you resonate with them and share those kind of stories, and storytelling always keeps people paying more attention, right? We're wired to think that way and pay attention. So that's the part where you should think about your audience and communicate in a way that attracts their attention. Okay.
Right.
Those are the first two steps. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's dissect those a little bit more, because it's so important to get those first ones right. But there are some, you know, there's a couple little basics that I want to make sure people know about. We might not always do video. Many podcasters don't. Now, in this day and age of Zoom, you know, we at least in many cases want to see our guests. Now, I do have a YouTube channel. Do people watch it? No. You know, let's just be blunt. You know, the program is an hour long. It's two talking heads.
Yeah.
You know, now they might have it on and they listen to it, but they're not going to sit and watch it like, you know, like it's a fascinating TV program. But you know, YouTube is owned by Google. So if you want SEO, you need to be on YouTube, right? Yep. So not every host though is going to do that, but you absolutely positively without a doubt have to have good audio. So that means a good internet connection. It means now, you know, we didn't say this. I should have said this in your introduction. You are in Portugal.
Yes.
That's, you know, more than 10 miles away. You know, there's an ocean between us. And, you know, it's we still have an absolutely fabulous connection. Now, last week, I would not have had a good connection because my internet kept coming and going. It was just kind of one of those weeks. But, you know, you have to have that. And so you need a good mic. The mic that I use is under $100. And you know, and then you, now I do, you have a headset on for people who are just listening. So you have a headset. I have an earpiece. I call it my CIA earpiece.
Just because,
yeah, I like to have the other ear open so I can hear what's going on in the world. And typically it's better to have a headset because if you're using the speakers on your computer, sometimes you get feedback. And I don't know why that happens. It just does. So, you know, those are just the basics. And if you don't have those, nothing else is going to matter. But then you absolutely have to know what the heck it is that you're going to talk about. You know, and now I've had, I think just twice, I've had people who I was their very first podcast.
Oh.
Now I was gentle with them. You know, and, but oh, I knew was it was, nice, I knew it was their first podcast. And so, you know, that, and they both did really great jobs, but I knew they were nervous. And so, but that is kind of where Zoom comes in handy because you can see them, you know, you can make faces, you can do all sorts of things, whether you're going to post it online or not. But yeah, it's this, it's kind of, yeah, you know, I mentioned it's a marketing tool. Would you put a website up that was only halfway done? No.
Yes,
ma'am. You know, and so have good audio, be able to do that, and then know exactly what it is that you're going to say.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good point also about the audio quality. And the headset, I think it prevents for all these silly accidents that nobody needs. And many hosts also require it. So there's already like checklists. Oh, you need to have a microphone, you need to have a... So it's good to have that prep. Right.
And your computer microphone isn't always the best. It depends. Now, you know, like I said, I have an external mic. There is a mic on my camera. But, you know, I don't always use, you know, I almost never use it. It's only, you know, every once in a while mine will fritz out, but you know, because technology just all of a sudden decides it's not always going to work. You know,
it doesn't have to be expensive, like you said.
No.
A couple hundred bucks, you can get those Yeti, for example.
Yeah, that is mine. Mine is a blue Yeti. Yeah. I'm gonna move it into the picture. See, look, it's a blue Yeti.
And Dev is doing this for almost 1,000 episodes. So.
Oh yeah, you know, and this is only the second mic I've ever had. So, exactly. You know, and now there are people who get really carried away. They have the soundproof rooms that, you know,
that could also be in danger if you start being too perfectionist.
Right.
I'll only start doing it when I have the perfect studio.
So, oh, yeah.
And then they keep postponing.
Right.
Yeah. Both sides, guest and host.
I mean, I shut my door. And I have a sign that says on the air, which I love. You have one in. And so my husband and my cats know, you know, don't come in. You know, I've seen, you know, I've interviewed guests who have had signs that they put on their doors because their kids are there. And they said, literally the sign says, unless you are bleeding, do not knock on this door. But, you know, interruptions happen, right? You know, it's just a fact of life. But yeah, you don't need the soundproof room that, you know, now. You do need to, again, still have good audio. You know, I was interviewing a guest one time, and this is before we had Zoom. So it was just audio only. And I kept hearing this loud, kind of whiny noise. And I finally just stopped and I said, what is that? And he said, oh, I'm sitting on my deck and they're cutting trees down next door. And I said, go inside. You know? But then I also interviewed a guest who was talking about the freedom that she had as owning her own business, and she was poolside, and you know, it was not overly distracting, so we left it. I thought it was actually kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, she would have easily moved if, like, you know, a whole group of teenagers came in and started being loud and all of that. But yeah, you know, it's, but you don't want to be by the freeway. Things happen. I mean, like, I've had, you know, guests where I can tell when, like, they're close enough to a street that a siren goes by. You know, we're forgiving of those things. But, absolutely, you know, yeah, it really does come back to your message. If you don't know what the heck you're going to talk about, you know, then get that figured out.
Yeah, you can do that. You can experiment like I did on the 67 podcast. But you will... most likely nothing will come out of it, right? Mm-hmm. You can have 67 chats, right. Random chats with people. Mm-hmm. You can have amazing connections mm-hmm. with the host, but right. You know,
you probably got about 5-ish things that, I mean, like you mentioned, you have your dream framework. That's yeah. 5 things, right? Because it's an acronym. So yeah, you know, you can come up with, you know, a small handful of things that you're going to talk about almost every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a waste of time if you just mm-hmm. go on chat like mm-hmm. I did. It was a big no-no. Yeah, so that's why I learned by doing, mm-hmm. right? I did all the mistakes. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from the hosts and mm-hmm. I tested different things. Mm-hmm. And now, so those are the first 2 steps that we discussed. So designing, mm-hmm. make sure you're attractive mm-hmm. for the hosts. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a story to tell mm-hmm. That will capture the attention of your listeners. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, now we're prepared. We can mm-hmm. go on to engaging.
Right. We're ready. Mm-hmm.
To connect with the hosts in a way that attracts their attention and mm-hmm. makes you stand out, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the way that you probably know more about this because you receive hundreds of pitches per day, but most people that do this kind of outreach, they talk about me, like mm-hmm. I'm this, I'm good, I'm amazing. This is where I did before, but that's the wrong approach because it's right. all about the host. Mm-hmm. How can we make their mm-hmm. lives easier, right? Yeah. How can we mm-hmm. make sure we add value to their mm-hmm. audience, right? So that's the kind of approach we should be doing, and I can mm-hmm. share at the end that I have a mm-hmm. resource, a template mm-hmm. I can share with
right.
you. With
mm-hmm.
you
right? Ooh, cool.
So the first email you should mm-hmm. send it has to first of all, you have to create some sort of connection with the host. Mm-hmm. I advise you to listen to a couple of episodes, mm-hmm. Maybe give a comment about enjoyed this mm-hmm. episode, it was amazing.
Because we pay attention, we notice these things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then just briefly show how you would add value to the mm-hmm. To the hosts, audience, mm-hmm. And then give a couple of, you know, maybe you can share mm-hmm. your own, the bio that mm-hmm. we talked about, the media one sheet. And then never forget about the follow-up. It's super important mm-hmm. because I had so many hosts that told me, Tiago, thank you so much for sending me the 3rd email. mm-hmm. I looked at your first, mm-hmm. I meant to answer, right. but I was in an event and mm-hmm. I couldn't answer. So super important mm-hmm. nowadays, the follow-up, the power really is mm-hmm. there. And then, yeah, you start booking your podcasts. Mm-hmm. You might have some pre-qualifying chats, right? Mm-hmm. Those 10 to 15 minutes pre-chats. Mm-hmm. But that's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. Know about this is that you have to add value to the host, mm-hmm. make their lives as easy as possible, mm-hmm. And follow up consistently. That's
right.
The only thing you have to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell me.
Yeah. You know, and when you're sending these emails, keep them short, folks. You know, when I get some emails and it's war and peace, you know, I'm like, no, you know, I need it short and sweet, which is where having a one sheet does come in handy. You know, I can glance at that and, okay, we call it a one sheet. Sometimes it's 2, but, you know, don't make it any longer than that. But, you know, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to read the bio. And, you know, it's always going to have a picture. You know, and because we do use those when we promote the programs, but, you know, but it doesn't have to be professionally done. I mean, you know, in this day and age, our cameras can do pretty good. Our phones can do pretty good. And now, you know, we'll talk about AI later. I mean, this is, you know, we can do all sorts of things with that, but yeah, if I can glance at something and in less than about a minute, make a decision as to whether this is going to be a good guest or not. That's what is, you know, and yeah, I get a lot of these, like we were saying, every day, but even if it's somebody who's, you know, they're doing other things. So keep your pitch pretty simple. Now I, you know, the ego in me does like it when somebody says, I really liked your program about this one where they talked about this. Now I'm not stupid, folks. I realize that somebody might have listened to 5 minutes worth of the program. you know, but at least they got something out of it. So I know that they went there. You know, but more importantly, it means that they know this is a business podcast. I, you know, even called the Business Power Hour, I get pitches that are not business related. And so typically I do go back and I will say, how can we make this more of a business focus? Now, I also tell people it is my podcast. I could do what I want with it. And so there have been times where I have had totally non-business type of guests on, but yeah, it's, You need to, and so the thing is, this in many cases is not cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste. You know, you need to know a little bit about the program and things. Now, you know, I did have one guest, and I've had her on twice, and she has become a friend, where her pitch to me was that she wrote a book on in vitro fertilization. And it's about her son Ferris, and you know, and so it's IVF. I'm very Ferris, and his name really is Ferris. And it's a cartoon book and all this. And I thought, well, this is cute. But I went back and I said, how can this be business related? And because I'm thinking, okay, that's a 5-minute conversation, right? And she said, well, I quit my job. I have had to learn how to do the marketing. And so that was what we made the program about. And so, yeah, you know, if you're a little off topic, that's okay, but show how you can bring it back to being on topic. During COVID, we had programs that were about mental health, about exercising, about all sorts of things that you normally wouldn't talk about on a business podcast, but people were dealing with it because we were cooped up in our you know, basements, our spare bedrooms, all those various things. And so we needed to talk about those. But, you know, I've also talked with other people about, like I said, I just, ooh, this sounds interesting. I want to talk about it. But yeah, make sure that your pitch shows that you at least read something about their program. But when you can talk about it in a little bit more detail, And it's a sentence, folks. It's just a sentence. You know, I really loved your program about Tiago Faria, and I learned how to pitch myself. Let me, you know, things like that. So that is what you want to do is, you know, and again, that catches my attention.
Exactly. And what you said is just completely true. Is that how can you add value to their audience? Mm-hmm. Well, how is your topic relevant to, you know, what the, the host is usually talking right. about with the other guests. So that's mega, mega important, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the part of the engaging. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to the next part of my dream method, which is the attraction. Basically the way you should be yourself and magnetically attract your ideal clients. That most of them, they're usually there. You know, there's always a small percentage of people that would be interested in knowing more about you. And the mistake I was doing, again, it was just having a pointless conversation with no logical next step at the end. Usually the host would ask me, so how can people know more about you? And I would share something random like, oh, I don't know, follow me on social media.
It's a marketing tool, folks. A marketing tool.
And I can show an example at the end if you ask me that question. But the idea is for you to have something compelling for the audience to do right afterward, after they listen to you. They see you in action, they hear your story. So what's the next thing they can do to help them, basically help them get at least one small step closer to their main goal, their main objective. And that's what the call to action is about at the end. So has to be something, the logical next step for the person to implement right now. And it can usually, I usually advise people to share either a free resource, like some freebies, like either videos or PDFs with some worksheets, something that people can implement quickly.
Because then you get them in your database.
Exactly. If you have an email list, you can do that. Or if you don't have, you can do something like I'm also doing here. I will share it with you, which is to use your LinkedIn, et cetera. I can talk about that. But if, of course, ideally have an email list, you know, because if you don't have an email list, if you have only followers, you don't have anything, right? Like you said, exactly. There's you're asking permission from Mr. Mark Zuckerberg.
Can I contact people today, Mark?
Exactly. That doesn't make any sense. But I prefer to do the kind of call to action that I prefer to do is basically creating almost an irresistible offer, right? Instead of just saying, I have this PDF for you, which most people do, or an ebook or something. I like to do, look, I have this set of videos that will help you do this one thing. And it also comes with worksheets that help you implement it. So kind of think about how can you make it easy as possible and fast as possible for someone to implement specific thing, okay? That's the ideal scenario, okay? And then finally, we go to the last stage. But if you want to talk about the call to action, tell me if you have any.
Let's do a little bit more there to go into more detail. You know, yeah, you have to have some type of call to action, even if it's just connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, because like we said, if somebody went, ooh, this was great, now what? You know, you need to do that. And, You know, now I'll tell you, some of my favorite ones are the people. Now this takes a little bit more technical savvy, you know, some things like that. They will create a special landing page on their website. And, you know, and now if you're doing 67 interviews in 30 days, you're not going to do this. But, you know, and so, and it really impresses me when I go to that landing page, because I always go to the landing page just to make sure I have it right. But if it says, you know, for the listeners of Deb Creer's The Business Power Hour, we have this special thing, you know, and
that's
and
incredible. Yes. Yes.
So yeah, I'm always like, ooh, especially if they put a graphic of me, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. But, and you know, and that, but that does take a little bit more technical, you know, knowledge to be able to do that. And, you know, so, you know, you might not be able to do that, but yeah, anytime you can say, here's what we've got. Now, if somebody has a book, I do put the link to it on Amazon. And I am an affiliate. Do I get rich that way? Absolutely, positively not. But to me, it's a good resource. I mean, if we just talked about somebody's book, I want to be able to, you know, show them how to find it. But yeah, the ones where people say, hey, we've got this great, you know, program, even if it's just, you know, that they say, you know, here's the link for the contact us page. Well, I will do that. But yeah, if I can get something for free, but again, more importantly, if you can capture somebody's email, no matter how you're doing it, then you can be reaching back out to them again, and be saying, okay, hey, you know, we've got this program, we've got all of that stuff, you know, and I've seen some that have been really sophisticated where, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to download something. And so I do, and it will say, thank you for listening to our program on the Business Power Hour. I'm like, ooh, you know, and now that's pretty sophisticated. But yeah, it's, you know, have that call to action, have some reason why people are going to reach back out to you.
Yes. And it's very important to be compelling, especially mm-hmm. because the podcast audience, mm-hmm. they're usually doing something else, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In the car, driving mm-hmm. or at right. the gym. mm-hmm. So we need to really have something that they would love to mm-hmm. Solve right mm-hmm. now. Some small problem that you right. would love to solve right now. Because that's the only way that we will mm-hmm. get their attention to pick up the phone, mm-hmm. type the link, mm-hmm. and do the work to get mm-hmm. that to get to that stage. Otherwise, they will just I'll remember it later or mm-hmm. something like that, mm-hmm. and usually they forget about it. So
right.
that's why it's important to be compelling. So thinking about what is the specific problem the audience mm-hmm. is trying to solve right mm-hmm. now, and it has to be an urgent mm-hmm. problem. That's right. that's the ideal scenario,
right.
so that it makes them jump mm-hmm. and. Right. And take some action.
Yeah. And this is, again, why it's so important to be on the right podcasts. You know, if you're on a podcast where you even if you've done a real good pitch for everything that you're doing, if you're not talking to the right people who are going to want to further engage with you, you just had a good conversation. You know, and sometimes those are fun, right? But no, you want to be on the podcasts that are reaching the people you want to work with. You know, and so that comes all the way back to, do you even know who those folks are?
Exactly. Such a good point. Yes. Mm-hmm. Super important. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the first beginning stage. Mm-hmm. Who am I targeting? Mm-hmm. What problem I solve? Mm-hmm. What makes me different?
Mm-hmm. What is my niche?
What is my niche?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's awesome. So that's we attract the attention of people. Mm-hmm. We took them from to make them do some sort of action at the end of the mm-hmm. episode. And then we go to the last stage of my dream method, which is multiply, okay, mm-hmm. of the M of the dream. Mm-hmm. And this is where we leverage each episode we do. Mm-hmm. So we took to 1 hour to mm-hmm. an interview. And we can create marketing assets out of each episode we do, mm-hmm. even before they go mm-hmm. live, because I know you have a much faster turnaround, but some mm-hmm. podcasts, they take weeks or months to get mm-hmm. published. So it's a good idea for you to... Okay, at least maybe you can ask the host to send you the mm-hmm. raw file so you can mm-hmm. start creating some assets. Mm-hmm. Because most people get on an interview mm-hmm. And then they just forget about it. Mm-hmm. They never even contact the host anymore. Right. Just they don't follow them. But this period between recording and go mm-hmm. live is probably the most profitable because the host just saw you in action. Mm-hmm. They got to know mm-hmm. you, like you, and trust you. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea also to nurture the relationship with the host. So, because if you mm-hmm. if you really clicked at the end, there's always a possibility for you to help each other. Basically, mm-hmm. If you approach it genuinely, mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. ask questions, if you show that you care, there's always something that can come out of it. Mm-hmm. Either can be like a referral for other mm-hmm. podcast hosts, mm-hmm. right? That's an amazing mm-hmm. thing. Can be a exchange of referrals mm-hmm. for their own businesses or programs. Mm-hmm. There's always something that can come mm-hmm. out of it if you nurture the relationship in right. a positive, abundant mm-hmm. way, right? And also start creating multiple assets out of the interview mm-hmm. so you can have content for your own following, right? Right. Lots of wins can be mm-hmm. made out mm-hmm. of, that's why I love this so much.
Right. And I tell you what, as the host, I notice, especially if they've tagged me, right? And mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that we do is my producer, Kim, she sends the email and it will, now typically she doesn't send them until it's pretty close to when it's going to go live. Uh-huh. So I'll send you the images, you know, further in advance, but because I'm happy to help with that. But great, yeah, so she'll send the links. And the reason we do that is because we've had people who've promoted the links too early and they're not live yet. And then they get all these emails. I mean, yeah. But yeah, so she will send that. She also makes sure that our social links for both me and the program are there, because just like I want people to make it easy for the host, I want to make it easy for the guests. I've seen ones where they have actually written the posts and you cut and you paste them, you know. Works for me. That's, you know, that's pretty easy to do. So again, you know, keep it simple, but you know, don't make them go hunt and find for it, you know, because they're going to come up with, well, for one thing, they're going to say no, you know, or they find the wrong one. I mean, what if they tag the wrong Deb Creer? Now there's not a lot of other Deb Creers in this world, but you know, what if they do tag the wrong thing? It might easily tag the wrong program. You know, and so we don't want that to happen. So yeah, we send a follow-up email that says here is everything you need in order to promote the program. And if somehow we've forgotten something, just let us know and we're more than happy to provide it. You know, and so, but you know, but yeah, like I said, we do notice.
Absolutely. You know, you do mm-hmm. notice. That's why I'm saying, I'm sure you noticed that before, if like, most people wait until it's published and then, oh, thank you so much for publishing. Mm-hmm. But if between that period of time after the recording and the publishing, mm-hmm. if the guest starts sending, creating anticipation mm-hmm. posts on their social media, mm-hmm. tagging you, mm-hmm. saying thank you so much, mm-hmm. it starts showing that that guest will actually mm-hmm. help you promote that. Right. He's motivated mm-hmm. to and mm-hmm. is going to be right. helpful, right? And you notice that, like, it's mm-hmm. it stays in your mind, mm-hmm. even if you have done almost mm-hmm. 1,000 episodes. I'm sure you notice those hosts.
I do. If they tag me, I will respond.
Yeah, yeah. It's mm-hmm. very important to mm-hmm. keep that connection, because you know, you meet podcast hosts are amazing, like Deb. Mm-hmm. They know, they probably interviewed almost 1,000 people. So there's a large network. They're influential people in our areas. So it's a very smart thing to do to nurture relationship mm-hmm. and see how you can right. each other help each mm-hmm. other out.
Right. Oh, definitely. You know, and now here's the funny thing about this. You and I were talking before the program. I have started guesting on other people's yes. podcasts. And, you know, and I keep thinking, oh, you know, I need to learn so much from all of this, because, you know, yeah, I have. I mean, you're episode 962. I've been doing this a long time. But from the guest's perspective, I have made mistakes. And so it's interesting. And so what I'm going on and talking about is an initiative that I started called tryingnottodie.live, which is about how to, you know, it's the target are people who have cancer or are associated with somebody who has cancer. How do you support them? You know, and so, but it's my personal story. I mean, I am on cancer number 3. I'm done, not signing up for any more. But you know, but it's how are you resilient? How are you powerful? You know, all of those various things. So to me at least, it's a good message to be spreading. And I have a really unique story. I mean, it's pretty wonkadoodle.
Multiple stories.
And you know, it's the surgery that I had last summer was actually surgery number 33 that I have faced on this journey. And
that's
I'm
a lot
only
of things with number
years.
3, which
33 surgeries. And almost died 3 times. I mean, all sorts of things. So, you know, all of this but my biggest thing that I don't do, and I kick myself because of this, is I don't always repost about the program, right? I always had a great time, but you know, I get the emails from them or I see the social posts, because sometimes they don't notify me. It's just, oh, there's a social mm-hmm. post about me. and I think I'll go do that later.
Problem. You know?
And so it is really funny because just yesterday I had the discussion with my producer and I said, this is a totally different thing. Can I add to your list of duties that you will now promote me when I've been a guest? Mm. And I said, we're talking like an hour a week. This is not a ton. I do, you know, maybe 4 or 5 interviews a month. So this is not, but, and you would think that I would know to, no, I mean, I'm horrible about it. And so it's kind of one of those things. So make sure it's on your to-do list, folks. Make sure you do that. Because when somebody is a guest and I don't see that they promote, I do know they're busy. I mean, you know, they're very busy business people or they wouldn't be doing this. But my first thought is they didn't enjoy it. They did not, they did not like what happened. So they don't want to promote it. Hopefully that's not really the case, right? But yeah, you know, it's make yourself a calendar note or whatever it is that you have to do. But promote that because, you know, Tiago was talking at the very start. These are marketing assets that you need to be putting out there to promote yourself. And so why aren't we doing it? Well, because we're lazy and we're forgetful.
But instead of creating, because I'm sure people are creating content constantly, right? If they're online. This is an hour interview. You can create multiple assets like five, 10 reels, quote cards, anticipation posts. And it's all things that will position yourself as an authority because you've been interviewed by someone that is giving you their own authority by
guilt by association.
By this, yeah, exactly. you can also be sending it to leads that are kind of cold and you want to warm them up. Look at me. I've been interviewed in this episode. I talked about my story. It should be it's an amazing weapon you have that is easy to create because you're just chatting with someone and then you can leverage it multiple ways. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Right. Yeah. And okay, so the dream method was design, refine, engage, attract, and multiply. So yeah, pretty easy to remember, folks. But later on, we'll give you the opportunity to know exactly how to reach Tiago. But you know, the thing that really is changing so rapidly is the use of AI on podcasts. And it's so exciting from both the guest and the podcast host. To know that there's all this technology. I mean, when I started doing this, I was actually in a radio station, got in my car, went to the radio station, did it there, you know, drove back, took half a day to be able to do all this, right? And then I moved, how rude. And so we did the record, we would do the program live via Skype, which worked most of the time. But when it failed spectacularly, right? I would get text messages and they would say dead air. I'm like, oh, it's like, well, that didn't work. And then, you know, we hit on the lovely ability to be able to pre-record, which I love, right? Because it's, you know, it's almost 3 o'clock for you, if I'm doing my math right. It's almost 11 for me. That's not too big a time difference, but I've interviewed people where, you know, it's, if we were doing it live, it'd be Australia. 2 o'clock in the morning. Bleh, who wants to do that? But yeah, so we pre-record and then we transition to Zoom, you know, and so that I've kind of gone with the technology. I haven't embraced AI as much as I should. And I really need to do that because it will generate those short clips. It will generate all of those various things that I can use to promote the program and that then my guests can use also. And I think that's one of the things that is going to be so cool about all of this is, again, we're going to make it simpler for people.
Absolutely. And I've been also discovering that because many hosts share with me what they're doing. So there's platforms like Descript. I don't know if you've heard of it, where you just upload the whole raw video file. It transcribes the whole interview perfectly through AI. It identifies who is the speaker, who is the host and guest. You can basically correct it, remove the ums, the ahs if you want. I've seen it in action. But we don't need to do that. We're genuine people, right? You can then, with that, create a blog post to put on your website and leverage even more SEO juice with Google, right? You can use AI to, okay, please show me 10 interesting moments of this interview so I can create some reels and then start. It's easy for you to create those kind of things using those platforms. AI is helping us be more efficient, basically,
right,
losing less time. But I still advise myself included to not just copy paste whenever we see like
right. An example of a post, if it right? says this is a good clip, listen to it.
Exactly. It's still I don't believe in just simply copy pasting in anything with AI because we still need to have, imagine we're creating a post, creating anticipation about the interview, we should always still add our voice, our own voice, our own personality, not just simply copy pasting, but it definitely is gonna make our lives so much easier.
Right. Oh yeah, you know, and it is, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it has been so simple to be able to do some of this that we just haven't done it, right? It's almost kind of like counterintuitive. And so that is kind of the weird thing is we're like, yeah, but when I see it in action, it's very cool. I had a guest on several weeks ago who AI is his specialty. Now he's a lot younger, and it comes a lot more naturally to him. But at the same point, he understands how important this is. So he asked for the raw Zoom footage.
Yeah,
that was great. They can't cut me out, so I figure not a problem with that. And it was like we were saying before the thing, unless they are going to say, oh my God, this is horrible and you don't want to ever be interviewed by this person, it's just more promotion for me and for the program. And so I sent him the raw Zoom footage and he himself created several little promo videos that he used. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Took him probably 10 minutes, right? Because it was just now... You as a guest, are you going to do it? It all depends. I mean, it depends on your knowledge, right? If you know how to do that and can do it pretty easily, sure, you're probably going to do that. But at the same point, it's one of those where, like I said, I love it when the guest takes that initiative and really does stuff. But I, as a host, need to do a better job about that too. Raising us all up, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was impressed when that host sent me those 5 reels on. Yeah, it's really the eye-opening moment, it's super abundant. You know, everyone gets to win because the guests gets content. It gives credit to the host. Gives more people will watch the podcast. So it's a very smart thing to do to multi-purpose. Every episode and not just wait until it's published and that's it.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting what you can do with it. As I mentioned, I went to PodFest earlier this year and there was a small panel on AI and they were talking about, what they did. Two of the hosts were 8 and 10.
Wow.
Right? Now, these were the cutest, most professional young gentlemen in the
AI
world.
AI native.
I know. They might have been AI. Who knows? But their podcast was a daily Bible study. It was just the most precious thing in the world, right? And they were talking about how they used AI, and all of us old people sat there and went, "Whoa!" Right? And 8 and 10, and they were talking about how they used AI to promote their program, but part of it was the time perspective, because they're in school, and they're in school when most people are working and probably listening to podcasts. And so they needed to automate doing the promotion in order to hit the people who were going to listen. And we can automate a lot of stuff. We can do it pretty easily with scheduling posts and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I was just blown away by the fact that these little bitty dudes were really using this in a great way.
That's fantastic, incredible. And they're really, they are native. I'm scared with I have a 3 and a half year old daughter. she's going to be like, I don't know, using her brain just to to search for things.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be crazy.
And to me, it's all cool. I'm kind of one of those middle adopters. I let other people kind of fiddle with it first, and then I'll jump in. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We were talking before the program. I mean, we're going to start having total AI generated podcasts.
Oh yes.
There's obviously a lot of content about
maybe soon we'll be have a host AI and a guest AI.
And they could certainly, I mean, it'd be pretty easy right now for somebody to completely create an AI host for me because of all the content that's out there. And
all the jokes you've done, all the
bad dad jokes. I mean, all of those things, and so it'd be very interesting to see what could be done with it.
No, you have to do that.
So then I can automate it and go sit at the beach, right? we've been talking about the dream method, and which was again design, refine, engage, attract, and multiply. But so many people are going, "Oh, I don't want to do this myself. I know I need to, but I need help." So, Tiago, tell us how people find you and what are the services that you provide.
Well, thank you so much for the question, Dev. For those that want to do it themselves, I set up a whole bunch of things for your listeners for free because I know how hard it is to get booked, press hosts, to know how to be an amazing guest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't have to go through the 67 podcasts like I did to figure it out the hard way.
I
cracked the
it.
Code and I'm going to share with you so you can start doing it the right way. So first, you'll get access to my Being an Amazing Guest worksheet that I use with my clients. If you complete that, you'll immediately position yourself as an attractive guest that stands out from the back, like we talked about in the dark chat, and become an easy yes for hosts. Okay, that's the first thing I'll share with you. And then I'm going to also share with you the origin story worksheet, okay, where you simply have to answer a few prompt questions and seamlessly craft your origin story in a way that it resonates actually with the listener.
Oh,
it's
I love
important
it.
To keep their attention and generate trust, right? And this is where most people screw up, including me. Mm-hmm. If you're getting on podcasts and not getting any results out of it, you're messing up on this point, on the storytelling part. Because if you're just telling a bunch of facts, just sharing some information, it doesn't resonate. People don't click with it. And finally, I'll share with you also the email template that got me booked on those 67 podcasts.
Perfect.
And that received multiple answers from hosts saying, I usually don't get these answers to these emails, but I have to say that this one was one of the best that I've got.
And I responded.
Get through the host filters. Yes, indeed. and to get access to these, all you have to do is go to tiagofaria.pt/gift. I'll share with you the link.
Okay.
It directs you to my LinkedIn profile because my website is still in Portuguese. I'm working on internationalizing it.
I discovered that.
And you just commented the word gift.
Okay.
Yes. You just comment the word gift on that post and I'll share it with you.
Perfect.
You can also contact me there. If you value more your time than most people and you just want to get it done, you can contact me. I have a done for you service where I would just take it all off your plate, take the reins, and all you have to do is just show up in interviews, have a nice conversation with the host, and I'll start also generating content for you. So those are the two options that I would have for you guys.
I love it. I love it. And we will put your LinkedIn contact in there. We'll have your LinkedIn connection. So that makes that easy too. This has been so much fun. And I have to share with the people, we were saying one of the most important things is that you have good internet. No, mine failed spectacularly. I finally had to give up and I'm using my neighbor's Wi-Fi. So maybe that just means that as you're doing this, you got to have backup plans, right? Just in case that things fail. But yeah, we're having a great time doing this. And yeah, that really is, I mentioned at the very start, the most fun marketing that people will ever do. And I tell you what, I had fun today. And so I hope that Tiago did too.
No, I had a ton of fun. Thank you so much. It was a true honor, a true pleasure to be here and to be part of your 1,000 guests journey. Can't wait to see when it reaches that point.
I love it. I love it. Well, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I think the most important thing is for us to just, if you want to do this, it's important to get prepared, yes, but it's also important for you to just get out there. just try a lot of, you'll hate your first interview. You'll probably hate your second interview. You start improving a bit better on the third interview. So it gets better with massive amounts of action. Maybe not as crazy as I did with 67 in 4 months, but like you're doing a good rhythm, like four per month, it's a very good rhythm. And you'll get there by experimenting, by testing the waters. And if you're prepared, things will start, you know, growing very quickly and can be super, super cool.
Perfect. I love it. Well, I really have been having so much fun today talking with Tiago Fiera. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.